You can get out your Bibles and turn to Mark 2 if you'd like to follow along some of what we're doing this morning. I'm calling this chapter of Mark and this sermon today, Wait, What? Or Kusubiri Nini? Did I say it right, Riziki? Yeah? Kusubiri Nini? Wait, what? Because all through Mark 2, we have a bunch of these moments that happen. When you're doing what you always do and expecting what you always expect, and then something unexpected happens, I call that, wait, what? Kusubiri Nini? Right? What happened? What's going on? I have these moments a lot of times while I'm driving. Maybe you do too. I'll focus on the more positive aspect of that. I'm driving down the street and there are cars and buildings and stoplights, and then a chicken as big as a car in the back of a truck in front of me. That really happened to me a couple years ago, and I went, wait, what? Kusubiri Nini? Or on another time, I'm driving along and I pull up behind a motorcycle at a stoplight. I'm not thinking about it until I see something move behind the man on the motorcycle. Do we have that picture? Here it is. Now, it's a little hard to see maybe on the screen, but do you see what's behind him? I saw it move. It was a dog. That black thing there is a dog on the back of a motorcycle. That man had built a platform for his dog to ride with him on motorcycle rides. And that dog was just as calm as anything. You see his paw hanging out over the edge, chilling out. Wait, what? Kusubiri Nini? What is that, right? Wait, what can happen with people, with relationships, with plans that we had, with ways of thinking, with ways of being? And in those moments, those wait, what moments, we have a choice. We can wrestle, adjust, and move forward, or we can complain, push back, and cause a scene. We can ignore, deny, and get stuck. Any of those things can happen when we face a wait, what moment. As I said, I'm calling Mark 2 the wait, what chapter of Mark. It's filled with specific examples of when Jesus is doing and saying things that have people thinking and saying, wait, what? Kusubiri Nini? And all the different people have all those different reactions in the scripture. Some of them wrestle and adjust, and they move forward with Jesus. Some of them just choose to ignore Jesus and walk away. Some get angry and actually plan to destroy Jesus. In fact, if you want to look at that, it's in Mark chapter 3, verse 6. You're in 2. If you flip really quick to Mark 3, 6, it says, and that is when the religious leaders met together to try to plot how to destroy Jesus. It was after this chapter of, wait, what sort of moments? So let me catch you up for some of you who haven't been here, or maybe some of you have forgotten because we took a break last week. A quick summary of Mark, starting in verse chapter 1. Up to this point in the story Mark is telling, he has prepared us through John the Baptist. John the Baptist came and said, prepare the way, the kingdom of God is coming. And we meet Jesus being baptized and God saying, this is my son who I'm well pleased. He is the son of God. He then goes out in the wilderness to prepare, and that he's starting this new kingdom. And then Mark starts to invite us to participate in his kingdom, right? Participate in following Jesus. We start following him and we find out that he is showing his authority by his teaching, by casting out demons, by healing people, and by staying true to his calling of being a preacher. He says, wait, all of these people are following me. He spends time alone with God and says, I need to go to a new place because there's a certain thing I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to tell other people about this kingdom. And the people were following him. A lot of people were following him. In fact, so many people that other people were coming just because so many other people were there. Kind of like our world today, right? You see a group of people and you go, what are they all there for, right? I got to go find out what's going on. And they were coming to see what the big deal was. Part of the people who were coming to see Jesus were also religious leaders. They were curious about this teacher preacher who's getting big crowds, probably bigger than they were, right? Maybe feeling a little jealous. What's this guy doing? So at the beginning of Mark chapter 2, Jesus is inside, he's teaching inside of a house. Remember, he says, teaching, preaching is what I'm called to do. And this is where I think us very human people, and definitely American marketing and advertising type people, would get really tempted to keep all the people happy, to tell them all what they want to hear, right? To keep them all satisfied so that they will keep following him. And generally the way that you do that nowadays is to tell people things that will keep them comfortable, right? And the way most people keep comfortable is to keep things the same. To stay within expectations, to do feel-good kinds of things, right? But Jesus, he's not really about that, is he? No, he's kind of more of a, wait, what? Kind of guy. And as Mark is laying out this good news of Jesus and showing us who Jesus is, he puts right at the beginning of this book a series of stories and sayings of Jesus. And all of them have a, wait, what? Moment in them. In just a minute, we're going to watch our Walking with Jesus video of Mark 2, 1 through 12. You can follow along in your Bible. It's going to be in both Swahili and English. I'm doing this introduction because before we listen, I want you to be looking for some wait what moments. And they have to do, I'll give you some clues as to what to look for, okay? First, think about what polite visitors to a home do. Okay, that'll give you a clue. What would the paralyzed man in the story and his friends want from Jesus? What were all the people around expecting Jesus to do? What were the religious leaders expecting Jesus to do? Okay, all of those will prepare you to watch for the wait what moments. Let's watch and listen.
Marko sura ya pili. Baada ya siku kadhaa, Yesu alirudi Kafarnaumu, watu wakapata habari kwamba alikuwa nyumbani. Basi wakaja watu wengi sana, hata nafasi yoyote ikakosekana mlangoni. Yesu alikuwa akiwahubiria ujumbe wake, wakati mtu mmoja aliyepooza alipoletwa kwake akiwa amechukuliwa na watu wanne. Kwa sababu ya huo umati wa watu, hawakuweza kumpeleka karibu na Yesu. Basi, wakatoboa sehemu ya dari iliyokuwa juu ya mahali alipokuwa Yesu. Walipokwisha pata nafasi, wakamteremsha huyo mtu akiwa amelala juu ya mkeka. Yesu alipoona imani yao, akamwambia huyo mtu aliyepooza,
"Mwanangu, umesamehewa dhambi zako."
Baadhi ya walimu wa sheria waliokuwa wameketi hapo wakawaza mioyoni mwao,
"Anathubutuje kusema hivyo? Anamkufuru Mungu. Hakuna mtu awezaye kusamehe dhambi isipokuwa Mungu peke yake."
Yesu alitambua mara mawazo yao, akawaambia,
"Mbona mnawaza hivyo mioyoni mwenu? Ni lipi lililo rahisi zaidi? Kumwambia mtu huyu aliyepooza, umesamehewa dhambi zako, au kumwambia, inuka, chukua mkeka wako utembee? Basi nataka mjue kwamba mwana wa mtu anayo mamlaka ya kuwasamehe watu dhambi duniani."
Hapo akamwambia huyo mtu aliyepooza,
"Nakuambia, simama, chukua mkeka wako uende nyumbani."
Mara Watu wote wakiwa wanamtazama, huyo mtu akainuka, akauchukua mkeka wake, akaenda zake. Watu wote wakashangaa na kumtukuza Mungu akisema,
hatujapata kamwe kuona jambo kama hili.
Chapter 2. Jesus heals a paralyzed man. When Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves,
"What is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins."
Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. So he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up, pick up your mat and walk?' So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, "We've never seen anything like this before."
All right, here's my wait what moments. The friends made a hole in the roof. I'm glad it wasn't my house, right? Good visitors don't make holes in roofs. And the other wait what moment for me is, those are some pretty good friends, aren't they? They did whatever it took to get their friend to Jesus. And in fact, if you look in verse 5, it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Do you see two different verbs or words? One is more than one. Their faith, your sins. Many of us like to think of our faith as just our own. It's between me and God. But do you know what this says right here? That your faith can affect other people. Your faith, you can pray for others and it can make a difference for them. You can walk alongside and help someone else and that makes a difference for that other person. Their faith. We should do it together and not alone, right? What a powerful picture of together. But initially, I'm thinking the whole group of them may have been having their own, wait, what moment? When Jesus said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, I got to ask you, if you're one of the four friends that just carried your friend to Jesus and dug a hole in a roof, and you know people are going to be mad at you about that, and you lowered them down to Jesus, did you want Jesus to forgive his sins? What did you want? What did they want Jesus to do? Heal him. They wanted him to be healed, not forgiven of sins, right? So they're going, what? We heard that this guy does healings. Why is he just forgiving sins, right? And then while they're wondering that, you have the religious leaders on the other side who are saying, wait, what? Did that guy just say he could forgive sins? Because only God can do that. Who does this guy think he is? And then in verse 8, there's this other wait what moment for me. Jesus knew what they were thinking. Wait what? Friends, I may be able to guess what some of you are thinking some of the time. Sometimes I wish I knew what some of you were thinking some of the time. But honestly, I'm pretty sure that most of the time, I don't want to know what most of you are thinking, right? But Jesus knows. He knows what I'm thinking. He knows what you're thinking. Wow. That's powerful. And then in verses 8, 9, and 10, it says, Jesus defends himself in front of the religious leaders and in front of everyone else, right? He knows what they're thinking. He calls them out on it. And he says, just to prove to you that I can forgive sins, I'm going to heal this man. And he did it where everyone could see it. It actually makes a point here that and everyone could see it. And it made me think, well, wait, didn't we already see healings in the story, right? Jesus has been healing people all along. But my thought is, if they're all crowded in a house, before maybe when Jesus was outside, maybe you were in the back and you saw someone and they told you they were healed, but you didn't really see it happen, the beginning and then the middle and the end. But everyone who was in that house, they saw it with their own two eyes, right? This man was laying on a mat and he stood up, grabbed his mat and walked out. Everyone saw it. And Mark says that everyone leaves saying, wait, what? Wow. They were all, it says, in awe of what God did. I've never seen anything like this. They're saying, I don't understand exactly what's happening here. And maybe I'm still not really sure who Jesus is, but this religious teacher just did something I have never seen or heard before. So God must be great, right? So wait, what? The people were not expecting Jesus to question the religious leaders. The religious leaders were not expecting Jesus to question them. No one was expecting Jesus to say he could and would forgive sins. And no one expected him to prove he could forgive sins by healing someone. Mark has introduced us to a Jesus who frees us from physical sickness, but also sin and spiritual sickness. He goes past the surface to our soul. It's like the religious leaders of that time were handing out Band-Aids, and Jesus had the medicine. Right? And then we head into Mark 2, 13 through 17, and Jesus creates even more wait what moments. He calls a tax collector to follow him. Now let me stop for a minute because we don't really have tax collectors. I mean, I just do it on the computer. Okay, Matt does it on the computer for me, right? Everyone back then hated the tax collectors. They worked for the government who was oppressing them, especially this is the Jewish people. They were under someone else's government authority, and their Jews, fellow Jews, had sided with the government, were working for them, collecting all this money, and they were usually collecting more money than they were supposed to and keeping it for themselves. Okay? So we've got people who are all about money and wealth, and no one liked them. They were the hated rich people who came by their wealth in manipulative and oppressive ways. They were not good examples of good religious people, and Jesus goes up to one of them and calls him to be a follower of Jesus. And then, not only that, it's not just one. He goes and he has dinner and eats in the home of this tax collector. And it says he socializes with more tax collectors and more sinners. Wait, what? Kusibiri nini? What is Jesus doing? And then when the religious leaders questioned him, he came up with this brilliant answer. Mark 2, 17, you can look at it in your Bible. It's in Swahili on the screen. I'll read it for you, Mark 2, 17. Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. I didn't come to call righteous people, but sinners. Wait, what? You mean good religious people can eat with sinners? You mean we're supposed to get out of our houses and our buildings and our churches and talk with and sit with people who don't live perfect lives? I love his example about doctors. Think about a doctor for a minute. Can you imagine doctors who get all their years of training, all that money that they spend getting all their years of training, and all they do every day is meet with other doctors and talk about what they have learned? Is that why they became a doctor? No. Or they make appointments with all healthy people and talk to the healthy people about how they know how to cure sicknesses. Is that what a doctor does? Is that what they did training to do? No. What kind of doctor would never spend any time with sick people? Why would they do that? They became doctors not to have a bunch of knowledge about bodies and sickness and health. They became doctors to help sick people get healthy. And Jesus is saying, what you all think is logical is not as logical as you think. He's saying, he's teaching the Old Testament in many ways during these next few this chapter. He's staying connected to God's word, but he's not teaching it as they understood it. Instead, he's fulfilling the spirit of the law instead of adding layers of rules to the law. Good Jews of the time looked at purity as an external thing. If I stay clean, then I am pure. And Jesus went for the heart. He said purity comes from inside. He starts taking all the things that people assumed about God and following God and being holy and raising questions about them or turning them around. And he keeps doing it in the rest of Mark 2. I encourage you to again read it this week. And in your bulletins is a 5-day devotional guide for you to read a little bit at a time, to keep sitting with these sayings of Jesus and these things that he does and look for these, wait, what? Because sometimes you've read it so many times, you go, well, yeah, Jesus said that. But I want you to think about, what would it be like the first time that anyone ever heard that? And what does that look like in my life? What if I did what Jesus is asking me to do? Let Jesus speak to you about things like who you associate with and how you do things and what a Sabbath is for and what it means to help others or be pure. Because here's the now what for us today. If you think God is speaking to you, and every time he speaks, he tells you exactly what you expected to hear, you are not likely hearing God's voice. You're hearing your own. If you think God is speaking to you, and every time he speaks, he agrees with your opinions on everything, you are not likely hearing God's voice. You're hearing your own. If you think God is speaking to you and every time he speaks, he agrees with your actions and your lifestyle and your choices, you're probably not hearing God's voice. You're hearing your own. Because God, Jesus, is all about, wait, what moments creating in your life? He helps you to say, wait, something isn't connecting here. I need to rethink that. Because we are not perfect or holy. God is. He is the one who's right all the time. I know there's a lot of people on social media who claim to be right all the time. Yeah, they're not. Because none of us are, right? God is. He knows the best way for my life. I do not. Some of you think that God will always say, yes, yes, I agree with you. Yes, you're right. Some of you think that God will always say, no, you are so sinful, you're so messed up, you'll never get it right. Neither of those is God. Good parents do not say yes all the time or no all the time. And God does not always say yes or always say no. Good parents say, I know what your age is, what your abilities are, what your personality is, and I know what my experiences are about what is right and what leads to awful consequences and good consequences. And I know the deep love I have for you, and that's why I'm asking you to do what I do. And our good God says, I know who you are. I know who I created you to be. I know how things are supposed to be in this world. And I have perfect wisdom. And I love you more deeply than any other person ever could. And that's why I'm asking you to do what you do. And if at least every once in a while you are not saying, wait, what? To what God is saying to you, I'm not sure you're hearing from God. Keep seeking, keep asking, keep listening, keep praying. Keep doing what God is asking you to do, and trust that God loves you more than you can imagine. Because of his love and his wisdom, he will lead you down paths that are good for you and good for others, and lead you to the way God intended for you to live your life and for the world to be intended. Shalom. He'll lead you to the place of right relationships with God, with others, with the created world. And it will come from a place inside of you that loves God, loves others, and follows Jesus, and is not only about on the outside keeping pure. That's how God speaks, and that's how God leads. He has the medicine for your soul, and he can lead you to places of goodness for you and for others.